So I want you to imagine leaving the front door of your house, like wide open, 24/7.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no one's doing that.
Right, with your most valuable possessions just sitting right there on the living room floor. You would never do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an insane thought.
But the reality is, right now, if you have a child, their social security number is very likely sitting out there in the digital world doing exactly that.
Yep, just acting as an unlocked front door.
Exactly, for a completely invisible billion-dollar crime ring. So today we are digging into an incredibly eye-opening article. It's titled, "Your Child's Identity is Worth More to Thieves Than Yours."
That's a great piece. Really changes how you view data.
It really does. Our mission for this deep dive is to uncover this quiet, invisible crime happening behind the scenes. We want to figure out why a child's identity is the ultimate prize for a criminal, and what you can do right now to lock down your family's data.
Which is so crucial because the scale of this is just, it's what catches people entirely off guard.
Yeah, totally.
Because when we hear identity theft, we usually picture a stolen credit card or maybe a compromised bank account.
We think of the immediate alarms going off.
Right. If someone clones your debit card at a gas station, your phone buzzes with a text alert before the thief even drives away.
Or you suddenly see a massive drop in your credit score.
Exactly. As adults, we basically live inside this whole ecosystem of financial tripwires.
Okay, let's unpack this because that is the crucial difference. A child has absolutely none of those tripwires. Zero.
They don't have a banking app sending them push notifications on a Tuesday.
Okay.
They aren't running annual credit checks. Yeah, and because of that, a stolen identity in this specific demographic can be milked for, over a decade in complete silence.
Which is terrifying. But that actually leads me to the biggest hurdle I had when I was reading through the source material.
Oh, what was that?
Well, if 10-year-old can't drive, they can't vote, and they legally cannot hold a credit card, how on earth is their identity actually used by a thief?
It's a fair question.
I mean, a fourth grader is not exactly a convincing applicant for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, right?
No, of course not. But see, the assumption there is that the criminal wants to pretend to be a 10-year-old.
Right.
And they don't. They really
Yeah.
don't. What they want is the child's clean slate.
Okay. That makes sense.
The statistics from the Identity Theft Resource Center are pretty grim. This affects roughly 1 in 50 children.
Wow, 1 in 50.
Yeah, and it costs U.S. families around $1 billion every single year. The reason it's so incredibly lucrative is that a child's social security number has absolutely no history attached to it.
It's completely unblemished.
Exactly. It's a total blank canvas for them. And the real tragedy here isn't just the financial loss to banks. It steals time, It steals opportunities and a clean start to adult life.
Yeah, the source mentioned families usually only discover this years later, like when a teenager tries to get their first student
For a
loan.
car loan, or even just applying for their first apartment.
And they get flat out denied because someone else has already maxed out accounts tied to their social security number. It's awful.
It really is.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, the way they actually pull this off. The text details this concept of a synthetic identity.
Right, synthetic identity fraud.
Reading how this works, it's honestly like they are building a Frankenstein monster.
That is a perfect analogy, actually.
Right. The criminal takes the most valuable piece, the child's legitimate social security number, that acts as the anchor for the whole thing.
The core of the monster.
Exactly. Then they just stitch it together with completely fake parts. A fake adult name, a different birthday, making them, say, 35 years old, and a totally false address.
What's fascinating here is why this specific strategy works so flawlessly.
Because I assumed the credit bureaus would just catch that, right?
You'd think so. But adults discover fraud because they actively use their credit. With children, it's a blank slate, and literally no one is expecting a problem.
Wait, but don't the credit bureaus have some kind of master database verifying the age attached to the number?
That's the crazy part. They don't inherently. The number itself is just a 9-digit string.
Wait, really? So if a thief applies for a loan with my kid's number but says they were born in 1985, the algorithm just buys it.
Pretty much. Until a credit file is officially established, the algorithm essentially treats this new applicant as an adult who is just entering the credit market for the very first time.
Oh, like a recent immigrant or something.
Exactly. Or someone who just never used banks before. The system just accepts that 1985 birth date on the initial fraudulent application.
Wow.
And suddenly, your child's number is permanently linked to this 35-year-old ghost. From there, they build a long trail of unpaid debt entirely under the radar.
That is wild. Okay, so now that we understand the value of this blank slate and how the Frankenstein identity actually works, we have to talk about how the front door gets unlocked in the first place.
The threat vectors.
Yeah, because it's rarely like a hacker in a hoodie sitting in a dark basement. The article points out that the real risk lies in incredibly boring, everyday places.
Oh, absolutely. The mundane institutions.
Right. Think about schools, doctor's offices, youth sports leagues, summer camps. They all collect massive amounts of sensitive data.
Names, dates of birth, insurance details, social security numbers. It's all on those clipboards.
And any place storing that data can be the weak link if they are breached.
Right. Because a local sports league probably doesn't have enterprise-grade cybersecurity. They're a prime target for a data breach.
Exactly. But the source also brings up the scavenger side of things. The oversharing on social media.
Oh, the social media aspect is huge. Parents posting full names, exact birthdays.
The school mascots, the team rosters, and of course those ubiquitous first day of school chalkboard signs.
Those signs are a goldmine for data brokers and criminals.
I do want to push back on that slightly, though. I mean, a cute Facebook post of a chalkboard doesn't instantly destroy a child's identity, right? That feels a bit alarmist.
Well, no, it doesn't happen instantly in a vacuum. You're totally right about that.
Okay, good.
But you have to remember, criminals act as scavengers. They aren't just looking at one photo. They are piecing together scraps of overshared information from dozens of different places.
Oh, so they are solving a puzzle.
Exactly. They might buy a leaked list of raw social security numbers on the dark web, but they need the mother's maiden name or the childhood street to bypass bank security.
And they get that from the tagged relatives or the photo background. Okay, that reframes it completely.
Right. And that exposed info is also used for stalking, scams, or even casing a family's home.
Which brings up a really uncomfortable truth mentioned in the article. Sometimes the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah. Familial identity theft. It's devastating.
Family members misusing the child's social security number because they can't qualify for things themselves.
They'll use the kid's number to open utility accounts or get a phone plan just to keep the lights on. It's a really tough reality.
It is. And on top of that, we have to talk about the smart devices.
Oh, the smart toys. Yes.
The text mentions the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA.
Right, which requires verifiable parental consent for gathering data from kids under 13.
But the enforcement seems almost impossible now because of smart devices and apps.
It really is. I mean, the article mentions connected plush toys, educational tablets.
And amazingly, a pair of smart sunglasses.
The sunglasses. That blew my mind.
Right. A pair of sunglasses for a kid that quietly gathers biometric and location data.
Yeah.
That instantly becomes a huge privacy risk if the company is breached.
Absolutely. Because data is leaking from so many of these mundane, basically unavoidable places, we have to pivot.
Pivot from prevention to detection, right?
Exactly. You have to actively look for the invisible warning signs that a child's data has been compromised.
So let's talk about those red flags. What are the bizarre things parents should be looking out for?
Well, getting mail is a big one. Bizarre mail.
Like pre-approved credit card offers addressed to a 12-year-old.
Exactly. Or collection notices. You might get calls from billing departments about impossible bills.
The article also mentioned IRS notices, right?
Oh, yeah. IRS notices for unreported income. Because the thief is using that synthetic identity to pass employment background checks.
Or getting denied for government benefits because the system says your child is already receiving them in another state.
But relying on those downstream symptoms is really dangerous.
So what's the proactive approach?
The ultimate clue comes from the FTC and annualcreditreport.com. Their biggest rule is this. A child should generally not have a credit report at all.
None whatsoever.
Right. Its mere existence is a flashing neon warning sign.
So checking your child's credit report is essentially like hunting for ghosts. You are actively hoping to find absolutely nothing.
That's exactly it. You want an empty room.
Okay, so let's break down the practical steps for you listening right now. If you want to take action, you actually have to ask all three major bureaus, right?
Yes. Yeah. TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. You can't just check one.
And what kind of documentation do you need to provide to prove you're the parent? Because I imagine they don't just hand this over the phone.
No, it's strict. You generally need your own government ID, proof of your address, like a utility bill, the child's social security number, and their birth certificate.
It's a bit of a chore, but it's vital. And if the report is clear, the FTC advises that parents can request a free credit freeze for children under 16.
Right. And if the minor is 16 or 17, they can actually request the freeze themselves.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That completely locks down the account until it's intentionally lifted later on. But what if you check that report and the ghost is real?
The worst case scenario.
Right. Knowing the signs is only half the battle. What are the immediate triage steps that actually save the child's financial future?
First rule, don't panic. You have to move fast, but methodically.
The recovery checklist in the source is pretty straightforward. First, contact the specific companies where the fraud actually happened.
The fraud department specifically.
Right. Then contact the credit bureaus to freeze things and remove the fraudulent lines. And finally, create a formal recovery report at identitytheft.gov.
Which serves as your official proof that a crime occurred.
Now, I have to ask a critical legal question here. If I call up a massive bank and see a huge auto loan in my 10-year-old's name, how can a company legally hold a child responsible for that debt?
They can't. That's the beauty of contract law here.
Really? So the contract is just void?
Exactly. The source explicitly advises telling these companies that the victim is a minor who legally cannot enter into contracts. They literally lack the legal capacity.
So the bank just has to eat the loss.
Pretty much. It's the lender's fault for failing to verify the age.
That is incredibly empowering for parents to know.
It really is. And briefly, I want to touch on the overlapping threat of tax scams.
Right, because the fraudsters use the SSN for jobs.
Yes, AI tax scams are getting sophisticated. The IRS actually offers an identity protection PIN.
Which is like a unique number you use when filing.
Exactly. It's a great tool. But for long-term defense, you really have to guard that Social Security number like gold.
Push back when camps or sports leagues ask for it?
Yes. You have to ask them, why do you need this? Most of the time, they don't. They just ask because the form is always asked.
So what does this all mean? We have to teach kids digital habits. It's the digital equivalent of teaching them, you know, do not hand your house key to strangers.
Absolutely. And this applies to adults, too. Even helpful browser add-ons can secretly spy on millions of us. Privacy is a family-wide effort.
It really is. Okay, let's recap this deep dive. Child identity theft is a quiet, devastating crime. It detonates at the worst possible moment, right when they become an adult.
Yep. And children cannot monitor their own credit or clean up the mess of a criminal using their SSN.
So the call to action for you listening is this. Take a moment today to check if your child has a credit report. And if so, freeze it.
It is free. It's highly practical. And it honestly saves you from explaining to an 18-year-old why their adulthood is starting out deeply in debt.
Nobody wants to have that conversation.
No. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Think about the profound irony here. In our rush to perfectly document our children's lives online and surround them with smart educational toys, we might actually be the ones inadvertently dismantling the very blank slate we are trying so hard to protect.
Oh, wow. That is a heavy thought.
It forces you to wonder. Are parents today forced to act as full-time cybersecurity managers before their kids can even speak their first word?
It certainly feels like it. We are the ultimate gatekeepers to that blank slate. Well, a massive thank you to everyone for taking this deep dive with us today. Check those reports, lock down your data, and we will catch you on the next one.